sometimes I come out with a big fish, and sometimes I come out with a picture, and sometimes I just come out with an attitude.
Yeah.
You know?
Right?
Yeah. That's what it is. I'm either catching fish or I'm catching an attitude. For sure.
You're listening to the Jailhouse Prophets podcast, a production of the Elkhart County Jail Ministry. For today's conversation, we'll be joined by your host, Corey Martin, chaplain for the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, Shannon Martin, best-selling author and Corey's better half, and our special guest, Marco.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Jailhouse Prophets. We have an incredibly special show today. Two of my favorite people in the world are in the studio with me this morning. To my left, we have a special co-host, a first-time co-host. She is a nationally best-selling author among many things, but more importantly, she's also my wife, Shannon. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. I'm thrilled to be here.
Okay, so we need to explain, before I introduce our special guest, why are you here as opposed to Holly or Tosh or Karen?
Ooh, so can I introduce them maybe?
Oh yeah, please do. That's a great idea.
Okay, so yes, I've been a big fan of the podcast since its inception, obviously. And one of the things that happens in our home is that you, Corey, will sometimes come home from work and say, "Hey, guess who I got to see today?" And sometimes it's somebody that I know and love. And this is one of those times. So to my left is our friend and our brother from Holy Alliance, Marco.
Hey, how you doing,
hey,
everybody?
Marco.
What's going on? What's going on?
What? So tell me why you're so excited whenever I come home and say, "Hey, guess who I saw today? I saw Marco."
Yeah. I mean, so Marco, I'll tell you, you just have a very special place in our hearts. And you
same
have
for you guys.
You have that way about you. I mean, I think you were in the original Holy Alliance group back
right
when
there.
It was at the old building.
At La Casa, yeah.
Yep, at La Casa.
Right across the street.
I mean, we were a small group at that point.
Running out of room. Yep.
But I mean, you are a person that we talk about regularly in our home.
Really?
Yeah. Your name comes up.
That's awesome.
We wonder how you're doing, or, you know, when Corey gets to see you, then we're all like, "Marco!"
Right.
our oldest son came home from college a while back and said, "Who is Marco?" Like, he missed all this, but he's like, "Why do y'all keep talking about Marco? Yeah. Who is this?"
Does that creep you out that we talk about you
not
so much?
Not at all. I'm definitely blessed to have met you guys at the time of my life that I met you guys, and you guys really had a big impact on my faith in the Lord and just my freedom, moving to my freedom. I mean, I'm back in the jailhouse, but definitely, you guys definitely moved and made a big impact on me when I was in work release and going to Holy Alliance every week and just showing up and, you know, participating like I am now.
You had a big impact on our faith too. And I think that's what's at the core of, like, you know, why do we love you so much?
Right.
I mean, we love a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there's something really special about you. And I hope you see that, and I hope you hear us saying that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Some people have magnetic personalities. And you're like, "Oh, I just want to be around that person more."
Yeah. Right.
And you're one of those people.
Sometimes that's a problem, but yeah. I get it. Yeah, I get it for sure.
You bring energy to a space, and I just remember you were one of the people, you know, when Corey would be talking at Holy Alliance, you were engaging, you
almost
were tracking, you were, you know, like,
I just felt like being present somewhere, you kind of, the only time that your voice is heard is when you speak, you know, and nobody would really try and engage. They just maybe thought of it as a way to get out of the center. But me, myself, I took it as serious as being as positive as I can, just hearing them out, talking about the Lord and just asking questions that I would never hear in my life until somebody asked me, and I actually had the platform to actually answer the way I needed to and wanted to.
Yeah, so you are, I mean, you seem to be a very positive person.
Oh, I try to be.
But how do you maintain that positivity when things don't always go your way, or things head south for a little bit? Every time I see you, your face is just like lit up.
I know. Well, one, just I'm happy to see you. But the second part, just, I don't know, there's no point in being sad at the moment when you can make the best of it yourself. Just maybe put in a positive lookout, you know, for what you want in life.
Is there a member of your family who you feel like you got that positivity from?
My grandpa.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely a big impact on my life. He's always making jokes and always finding something to say to make everybody, you know, chime in, but at the same time still know that we're all still together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I admire him for it. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Does your grandpa live around here? Is he still
with us? Lives with my mom. He lives with me. For sure.
You said, can I ask you a question about Holy Alliance?
Yeah.
You said, I grew up in church. Mm-hmm. Shannon grew up in church. Sometimes we go to church just because our parents make us go to church.
Oh, most definitely.
Right. So we don't, and there are some people at Holy Alliance who probably go there just to get out of the center, and that's fine. Right. I'd do the same thing if I was there, probably.
Some people go for the coffee and donuts.
Right. That's right. But we have bananas now, too.
Ah, see, I'm missing out.
I know. We upgraded.
We've upped our game.
Yeah.
But you said you went there. What? Okay, so if you didn't go just to get out of the work release center, what kept you going to Holy? Because we start at 8:30. We start early in the morning.
Yeah.
So people have to get up earlier than they would normally get up.
I remember when you changed the schedule, everybody was like, man, we got to wake up. I was like, we get to go to Holy Alliance earlier, and you know what I mean? But nah, for real. I guess part of the reason why I would go and participate and just be there the way I would was just you would ask the right questions. You would ask the questions that, you know, people wanted to sit there and think on, and maybe in the moment when you would ask them, they're like, oh, well, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. But me, I was ready to answer, just because I was ready to give my opinion of my voice that was never heard before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it was.
Did you grow up with faith? As a part of your life? Yeah.
I remember my dad, he would always tell me whenever I'd get into trouble or whenever I'd get into, I guess, problems in my life, he would always tell me that he knows for sure that I'm a person that has a lot of faith and God in me and just around me. So my faith as a kid growing up, I would always learn, you know, the verses in church and the rosary, and I'd always be the one to tell my family, you know, let's do this rosary for this person, or let's do, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's just what it was.
So you grew up, did you grow up Catholic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, for sure. My dad, I mean, we faithfully went to church every Sunday, and I look forward to Sunday because after we went to church, you know, you go to eat.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I know we was going outside to eat. So that's what it was at first. And then you start paying attention in church and hearing little bits and pieces that you could apply to your own life. And I guess that's where I found out that God is everywhere and God is in everything that we do.
I'm intrigued. We say at Holy Alliance all the time that we don't always have the answers, but we always try to ask the right questions.
Most definitely, and you guys do.
And so it's interesting to say that you enjoyed like the questioning part of it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like in Holy Alliance, we don't stray away from the hard questions.
Mm-mm.
And we don't try to give simplistic answers to hard questions.
And sometimes the most simplest answers are the most complicated things to understand. And
that's true. That's the hardest things to live out.
Yeah, and really realize that that's what it is, and nothing, you know what I mean? But I just feel like whenever I would go to Holy Alliance, you always would look to me to answer. And and I would and like no pressure, not like that, but like I felt wanted. You know, I felt like there was a reason for me to say what I would say, and maybe, you know, whenever you'd ask somebody to pray for certain things of what we would pray for and everything like that, I felt like some people would do it the simple way, and that's always, and there's no wrong way to pray.
Yeah.
But when it came to the things that, you know, maybe somebody was going through that I had no idea about, maybe just speak my piece on it the way God told me to, and God put in my heart to speak to them, that way they could get through the hard time or the thought process of, that's just what I would try and do.
I think that might be one of the new goals for the Holy Alliance, is what you just said, because sometimes churches overcomplicate things about what, you know, what the purpose of church, or how do we get people to come to church? How do we get more people in the doors? But you said you always felt wanted.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder
yeah.
if that's the goal of Holy Alliance. Oh, we want people who attend there to always feel wanted.
And you sometimes you would get mad at people for, you'd be like, hey guys, you know, like let's get back to the I wouldn't say scripture, but let's get back to the point here. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people would be like, ah, whatever. But when you did that, it was kind of like a teacher checking you in class, you know? And I feel like that's where your structure was, and I wanted to listen because I felt like it was respectful to you. And
I should carry a yardstick around with me and like wrap people on the knuckles when they start talking.
I probably have red knuckles on that. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I appreciate that you looked right at me. I don't know if you meant to do this just a moment ago mm-hmm. when you said there's no wrong way to pray. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. I haven't done this as much, but especially in the beginning, I would do that little time of prayer. Mm-hmm. And do you remember I would say, what counts as prayer?
Yeah. And it just, and anything did that, yeah. that really proved worthy of just you having the courage to say it.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, I think I grew up, you know, like Corey said, I grew up in church my whole life, mm-hmm. but it also gave me, I mean, I have a lot that I'm really thankful for right. about that, but it also kind of made these patterns in my life that I've had to kind of undo.
Like the rules that you were living by.
That's yeah, exactly right. Sure. You know, to think, you know, a prayer has to look a certain way, sound a certain way, it starts a certain way, it ends a certain mm-hmm. way. And I've found that my relationship with God mm-hmm. has become a lot more meaningful and real to me when I can understand, you know, it's not about you got to close your eyes and bow your head and say these certain words,
right,
and be real somber and serious. You know, we can be, if God is in us and mm-hmm. God is, like you said, God is everywhere.
Right.
That means our lives, the way we live our lives and move through mm-hmm. our days, like that is prayer.
Right.
That's an opportunity for yeah. prayer.
What do you do with the parts of God or the parts of your lives that you can't understand?
I look in the Bible and I try and live it out with and do the best that I can for myself and just doing the best around me for other people. Try and do something nice for somebody and some like last night I was right after breakfast we stood outside and it was like three or four guys and they were asking me, they're like, yo, you read the Bible? Or you know, like I'd always tried to read the Bible and never understand it, and I'm not playing. I told them left or right, and I said that means the left or right page, and I said tell me when to stop. Mm-hmm. And I flipped through the Bible and I read a passage on the right side of the page and it literally said and Jesus answered, because they were like, how do you read the Bible? And like, I never understood the Bible, and I was like, man, you just gotta do mm-hmm. you know, the random things, and
yeah.
he will show you what is. And it said Jesus answered, and it was a passage that hit spot on, and they were like, they got chills and everything. I'm like, I'm telling you, man, it's the real things in this Bible, man. There's a real things that you do for God, and he'll give you an answer. And it may not be the answer you need right away, but one day or one time in your life, if you just give yourself to him for a second, he'll give you 10 back. That makes you really think what you're doing in your life and what you're doing is the right thing or the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know? But you said earlier, there are some things in scripture that are easy to understand but hard to live out. Mm-hmm. And there's some things in scripture that are obscure and difficult to understand.
Oh yeah.
But sometimes we tend to focus on the parts that are impossible to understand. Mm-hmm. Like the mysterious passages or stories that people argue about and debate about.
Or the book of Revelation.
Or the book of right. They're hard.
Yeah.
But sometimes we focus on that stuff when the easiest stuff to understand, like when Paul describes love, love is patient, love is kind, mm-hmm. be slow to anger, quick to listen, slow. Mm-hmm. Some of those instructions are very clear.
And they're clear as day.
Clear as day, mm-hmm. but they're really hard to understand. They're really hard to live out.
Most yeah. definitely.
And so I wonder, sometimes we focus on the obscure parts of scripture that mm-hmm. are hard to understand because it's easier yeah. than actually having to live out what love is.
Yeah.
How does that work in APOD? I mean, it's one thing to kind of live out your faith outside.
Yeah. Right.
But you're stuck with guys who they stick you with. Yep. Right? You have no control over what
classification is God. that's who it is, right, man. Anybody that comes through that door, hey, you're a new roommate. Mm-hmm.
So how does that affect the way you live out your faith, inside versus outside?
I mean, some people, and I was telling these guys last night, sometimes people come in to jail and they find God. And sometimes people, the only time that they talk to God is when they're in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's rough thinking that way, but when new guys come in, and maybe I'll call a prayer circle, or I'll read a verse in the Bible to just a random person. Some guys will knock, they'll knock me for doing it. Like, man, like what are you calling a prayer circle for? You know, what are you calling this? And like, what are you talking to him about pushing the Lord on him and stuff? Mm-hmm. And I just feel that that life is hard, and being in here is a little bit harder. But this is also a place where you can get back to reality,
mm-hmm,
and really come to realizing where you're at, and just putting your feet on the ground and knowing that you're able to get out of here, or you're able to start your life from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because being sober and being coming from the streets, being, all these kinds of things that happen in the streets, and you come in here and you got 3 square meals a day, you got a bed to sleep in, you got a time to wake up and a time to eat. That's that structure that you kind of need.
Yeah. We were on Sunday at Holy Alliance, we were mm-hmm talking about that we're leading up to the story of the Nativity, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus's birth, Christmas time. And I was talking about that story begins in a different place than many of us realize. I didn't know this until recently. Mm. It starts with this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're these really old people. They want to have a baby. They can't. It's this whole story. Mm. But part of that story is that, Zechariah, an angel is telling him, you're going to have a baby. And Zechariah is like, there's no way.
Right.
And God makes it so that Zechariah can't speak. He makes him mute, not forever, but for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about, is that a punishment or is that a gift? Like sometimes there's a correlation with God sitting people down in jail sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's not what you would choose and it feels like a punishment. Maybe in a lot of ways it is,
yep,
but we have these things in our lives where it's like, oh, this might be an opportunity, like you just said, Marco, like to get real quiet, mm-hmm, and to listen and to kind of ground myself and root myself, right, into, what do I really believe and how do I want to live? And
it seems
to me like there's a similarity there.
Uh-huh. I believe it.
Yeah.
When you say somebody being mute, I can't just talk to a judge.
Yeah.
I have to have a court date. And I can't just, mm-hmm, my girlfriend, she hung up the phone the other day and I told her, I said, can you call me back? And she said, well, no. I said, well, don't hang up the phone then.
Cause
I can call you back, but you can't call me back. There's a certain thing that you do. I don't know. I know what you mean by that mute thing.
You lose some control.
Oh, yeah.
over your own life. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like,
maybe that's what we need.
Right.
Without being in the control of our life is what is my right? No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I don't understand, because not everybody comes here with that perspective.
Right.
Right. This experience, mm-hmm, I've seen it. I've seen people use it to improve themselves. Mm-hmm. It can also kind of destroy people.
Oh, man.
Is it a choice that you have to make when you come in here to say, how am I going to use this experience? How is it that you come in and you're thinking, okay, this is God sitting me down, muting me, if you will.
Yeah.
And you're using it as an opportunity.
My mistakes led me here. And my faith keeps me here, in a good mood.
Mm.
I could wake up this morning and be upset about being here, or I could wake up this morning and be grateful that I woke up and be grateful that I, had the opportunity to have another day to be myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like myself right now because I'm with two people that know me and, mm-hmm, in the way that, that they knew me on the streets. Mm-hmm. And that was sober Marco, you know?
Yeah.
That was,
yep.
that was
you this know. Is the only Marco we know.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I'm grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that.
You've been listening to the Jailhouse Prophets podcast, a production of the Elkhart County Jail Ministry. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe and like. Jailhouse Prophets is produced by Nimblewit Studios with original music by Calvin Martin at Windowview Studios. For more stories and information on what's going on at the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. The Elkhart County Jail Ministry is a 501c3. If you would like to support this ministry with a donation, you can do so at www.elkhartcountyjailministry.org/donate.